Who are they? He said, Allah mentioned it elsewhere in the Quran. مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ. So, see, the first one amongst them are the Anbiya. The second one are the Siddiq. And that the Ummah does not know anyone as Siddiq like Abu Bakr and the Siddiq. He said, so when we pray that Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, those from whom we pray to be like are the likes of Abu Bakr and Siddiq. And that is not something that is doubted that he was Siddiq at the time. If they said Siddiq, not mentioning any other person, it was Abu Bakr and Siddiq. So sir, it was the one who was supposed to be followed, because we already pray to Allah as we read the Quran in Surah Al-Fatiha and in our Salawah, that he should make us be amongst those who follow their path. He says, so he's the part of people like Anbiya and the Siddiqu. So when there is no Nabi again after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it means that the prayer goes to people like Abu Bakr and Siddiq and those who came after him, who were like him, alayhim rahmatullah. So all these show the eminence and the excellence of Abu Bakr and Siddiq. And that was why also the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was reported to have said that لا ينبغي لقوم فيهم أبو بكر أن يأمهم غيره. لا ينبغي لقوم فيهم أبو بكر أن يأمهم غيره. It is not right. It is not in its place that there is a group of people that someone, Abu Bakr and Siddiq, is amongst them, and then someone other than him is leading them. It is not in its place. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi reported the hadith that it is not in its place that someone like Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, or Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, is amongst a group of people and other than him is leading them. And so in the terminal illness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will order Abu Bakr to lead the Salah. And that was why on the day the Prophet died sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and people were in the process of choosing an Amir, choosing someone, the Khalifa after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of what Umar ibn al-Khattab said to the people is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entrusted this man Abu Bakr al-Siddiq with the matters that have to do with our hereafter. Why should we not entrust unto him the matters that have to do with our dunya? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entrusted this man with the matters that had to do with our hereafter. Why should we not entrust unto him the matters that had to do with what? Our dunya. And that's why some of the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, they say that there are clear evidences that after the Prophet, was going to be Abu Bakr al-Siddiq who was going to be the Khalifa. Even when people like Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah said, yes, it is like that. But what we have rather are isharat, pointers, things that point to something, that we do not have clear-cut texts that indicate that it was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq who should be the Khalifa. But we have things that would make us understand that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq should be the Khalifa after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the best of this Ummah after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was no one but Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. And that was why Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal expressly stated this in this book, that هو خير هذه الأمة بعد نبيها أبو بكر الصديق. He said عليه رحمة الله, he said ثم عمر بن الخطاب. There are so many fadail of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. If you go to Sahih Bukhari, you see a lot. You go to Sunan al-Tirmidhi, you see a lot. Part of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did was he named him Atiqullah. He said, "Anta Atiqullah min an-nari yawm al-qiyamah." You are the freed one. You are the freed one of Allah from the fire on the day of Qiyamah. This makes us understand Abu Bakr will never go to the fire. Allah told him he's Atiq. And that's why when people say someone is called Atiqu, Atiqu, it's Atiqullah. It's one of the names the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Someone who is freed from the fire of hell. The hadith is in Sunan al-Tirmidhi from the manaqib of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. So it was the Prophet that named him like that. And this hadith is isnad. It's isnad is hasan. Ulama have mentioned it to be good for evidence. So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq has fadail. We can go on and on mentioning his virtues. Radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. The one who cried when others were happy, and who laughed, or who wasn't crying when others were crying. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. When Allah said, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, the companions were happy, yes, today our deen is complete. Our deen is perfect. He was crying because he realized that nothing gets perfect except that it begins to come down. So he was crying. You see why you cry? The Prophet knew why he cried, because he understood what the rest of them did not understand. Radiallahu anhu. And the day the Prophet died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people were crying. He was not crying, because he had already cried his own. Radiallahu anhu. When the other people like Umar were saying, any person who said that the Prophet was dead, I will cut off his head. He wasn't doing that. He said, Umar, sit down somewhere. Didn't you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ, that surely you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you shall die, and the rest of them, the kuffar, the mushrikun, and all other than them also shall die. And then Umar radiallahu anhu said, it was as if he had not heard those verses before. And the rest of the people went to sit down. So when the muhajirun were spoken, when the Ansar were saying that, no, the Amir should come from the Ansar, he gave them hadith. He gave them hadith. He said, Al-Amru inda al-Quraysh ma ata'u Allah. He said, the matter is the matter of Quraysh. Hadith. He said, the matter is the matter of Quraysh inasmuch as they still ma'aqamu deen. He said, inasmuch as they still establish this deen, they still establish the religion, no person will be the Khalifa of the Muslims except he's from Quraysh. Everybody kept quiet. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to be buried, people were wondering, where should we bury him? He said, we, nanu ma'asharat al-anbiya, we the assemblage with the group of anbiya, yudfanuna haythu yamutun. Wherever they died, that's where they are buried. So the Prophet was buried where he died. Hadith. When Fatima radiallahu anha came and said, oh, where is the inheritance of my father? He gave her hadith. When Ali ibn Abi Talib said, oh, where is this? Hadith. So at that time, the people were filled, they were frail, their emotions were down. At the time he presented the leadership. So this also makes us understand that he was the best of them. And he was not leading or guiding them with anything except Allah says, Prophet says. Allah says, Prophet says. When it was said that the army, the Jaysh Usama, should down sword, they were to go to Rome to revenge the battle, the killing of three eminent companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, including Zayd ibn Haritha, Abdullah ibn Rawaha, and Jafar ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. Jafar ibn Abi Talib, the elder brother of Ali ibn Abi Talib. They were to go and revenge. And Usama ibn Zayd was made the leader. People say, oh, let them not go now, because the Prophet, he said, no. A flag the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had raised, I will not put it down, let them go. And it became a means of success for the Muslims. Because some of the tribes who were around Medina, who had thought that the Muslims were now weak, because their messenger was now dead, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they thought that the Muslims are weak, so there is nothing they can do. But when they saw that, despite the fact that the messenger was dead, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and yet the Muslims could still march out a soldier, it means they are still strong. So those who are already saying they are not going to pay zakah, some of them say, oh, we will pay zakah, because they know that they were, you know, feeling that the Muslims were still strong if they could send the army of Zayd ibn Usama. So his decisions were like that, and there were things that were supported with evidence. His leadership was not leadership of ignorance, it was leadership of knowledge, evidence, piety, righteousness, and all this. So that was why the Imam alayhi rahmatullah said, وَخَيْرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بَعْدَ نَبِيهَا أَبُو بَكْرِ نَبِيهَا. Can go on and on talking about Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He was a very eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, because if we have to talk about that, we also have to talk about his wives and his daughters and his children and all those who were from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of them is the most beloved of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Siddiq bint Siddiq, Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummu Abdullah. She was the most beloved of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst the females. It was asked, who is the most beloved of the Prophet Muhammad? They asked her, who did the Prophet like? She said, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. And they asked others, who did the Prophet like most? They said, Aisha. They said, no, from amongst the males, say her father. So the Prophet loved them, radiyallahu anhum. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as most of the scholars of Sunnah said, made us understand that the best of this ummah after its messenger, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. He said, alayhi rahmatullah, summa Umar ibn al-Khattab, The day after, we have Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He's a very, very beloved companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who had Iman entrenched in his heart so much that when Iblis sees him, he runs away. He runs away when he sees Umar ibn al-Khattab. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling him about that, to make us understand the truity of this fact, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make an oath, we believed it. But to make us really, really, really understand that it's a matter of fact, never to be doubted by anyone, he swore by his Lord. Say, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. Say, I swear by the one in whose hands is my soul. مَا لَكِيكَ الشَّيْطَانُ ثَالِكًا فَجًّا قَطْ إِلَّا صَلَكَ فَجًّا غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. Shaitan as Shaitan, that's how he put it, means Iblis. So Iblis, Shaitan, never sees you passing by a route except that he passes another route. Umar, radiallahu anhu. So Shaitan never sees you passing by a route except that he passes by another route because of the strength of the Iman in his heart. That hadith is muttafaqun alayhi. Imam Bukhari and Muslim reported the hadith. It is mentioned that one day by Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, Abu Hamza al-Ansari, he said that one day Sa'ada Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam Uhdan wa ma'ahu Abu Bakr wa Umar wa Uthman. He said one day the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed the mountain of Uhud, and with him was Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. Farajafa, and then the mountain began to shake. The mountain began to shake. Mount Uhud is a range of mountains. Is a range of mountains, extensive and huge. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam climbed a part of it and it began to shake. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Uskun Uhud, Uhud, stay firm. You don't need to shake." He said, "Falaysa alayka illa nabiyyun wa siddiqun wa shahidan." Because no one is upon you except a messenger, a Siddiq, referring to Abu Bakr the Siddiq, and two Shaheed, Umar and Uthman ibn Affan. So stay cool, don't shake, don't be troubled. No one is upon you except a messenger, a Siddiq, and two Matayas. And it ended that Umar ibn Khattab was killed and Uthman ibn Affan was also killed. Radiallahu anhuma. Some of the scholars put this hadith under the nubuwat of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is what they refer to as prophecy, or what evidences or further establish the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger of Allah. He said that two shaheed. And in a very, very lengthy hadith, that the eminent tabi'i of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the companions radiyallahu anhum, Abu Uthman al-Nahdi. Abu Uthman al-Nahdi is a Mukhadram. The Mukhadramun are those who were alive, they had accepted Islam when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was alive, but they never met him, never saw him face to face. They are not companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are referred to as Mukhadramun. So Abu Uthman al-Nahdi was a Mukhadram. He left his town to go and meet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He got to Medina, he only saw the corpse of the Prophet. The Prophet was dead, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he met many of the companions of the Prophet, Abu Bakr and Siddiq. Because at the time, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina, except those he had sent on errands to Yemen, to Bahrain and places, the large majority of the companions and the most eminent amongst them were around in Medina. So as he died, he came in, Abu Uthman al-Nahdi. So he reported this hadith from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. And this hadith, besides Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, it has been reported by Nafi' ibn Abdullah al-Haris, and also Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, and also Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhum. Five companions of the Prophet report this hadith. That one day, so because of that, some of the ulama like Al-Imam ibn Kathir said they were different incidences. Some said no, it was the same occurrence. Some said no, they are different occurrences. So the companion Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, in his own riwayah, he said, "Kuntu ma Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam fi sha'itin I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in an enclosure, in a garden, in an enclosed area. فَأَمَرَنِي بِحِفْظِ الْبَابِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded me to take charge of the gate, to take care of the gate, to take security of the gate, take care who comes in and who goes out. He said, فَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ يَسْتَعْذِنُ. So a man came seeking to come in, taking permission to come in. فَقُلْتُ مَنْ هَذَا. So I said to him, who is that? قَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ. This makes us, he said, Abu Bakr. This makes us understand that if you knock a door to come in, they say, who is that? Don't say, I. There's a hadith where someone said, I, and the Prophet said, Ana, Ana, you, you. So we mention our name. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going on Isra Miraj, before he went into each of the heavens, they would ask, who is that? Say, Jibreel. He said, which you is who? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would say, who is that? Say, I. Who is I? He didn't say, with you, who? Somebody. Mention your name. So when Abu Bakr and Siddiq knocked at the door of the place, it was said, who? He said, Abu Bakr. Radiallahu anhum. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِذَنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. Allow him to come in and give him glad tidings of Al-Jannah. Abu Bakr and Siddiq. Radiallahu anhum. Allow him to come in and tell him he will be from the people of Al-Jannah. He says, ثُمَّ جَاءَ عُمَرُ فَقَالَ إِئِذَنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. Umar came and then took permission to come in also. And then it was said to him, allow him to come in and then give him glad tidings of Al-Jannah. He says, ثُمَّ جَاءَ عُثْمَانُ فَقَالَ إِئِذَنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ أَلَى بَلْوَى تُسِيبُهُ. Tell him to come in, allow him to come in, but and tell him that he will enter Al-Jannah, but there is fitna, there is trial attached to that. And that was the trial of the killing of Uthman ibn Affan. And that was the blood that will steal this Ummah until the day of Qiyamah. Yes, the blood of Uthman, the day Uthman ibn Affan was killed, the door was broken. You remember he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the day this world is raised, it will not be dropped. For verifying, for seeking the blood of Uthman, 90,000 Muslims were killed in Ghazwa to Siffin, all from the killing of Uthman ibn Affan. It was from there that some people say, no, they are Nasibi. Nasibi, they are the people who say that the best of people was Uthman ibn Affan. Some of them even go to the extremes and make the deal of Uthman over Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. And some people say, no, we are Shi'ani Ali. It was supposed to be Ali, not Uthman. And some people say, no, the two of you are Kufar, they are Al-Khawarij. So that was how the sect started, from the killing of Uthman ibn Affan. The thing started, and the 72 began to accrete, one after the other, until we have all what we have today. So this khilaf will continue until the day of Qiyamah, amongst the Muslims. But the issue each person will strive for is, how will I not be from those who will lose? How will I not be from those who will lose? How will I be from those who will gain and make profit? The issue whether there was khilaf or no khilaf is that we should know and be careful, like Uthman ibn Affan, like Huzayfa ibn al-Yaman told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told us, he said, كَانَ النَّاسُ يَسْأَلُونَ الرَّسُولَ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِ. He said, the people used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about good things, but I used to ask him about evil, so that the evil does not get in touch with me. So our knowing that there will be firak, our knowing that the firak started from the killing of Uthman, is to make us become equipped so that to know how do we now search for that way to salvation, that we will not be among those firak ud-dalah, the misguided paths that people have innovated since the killing of Uthman ibn Affan. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said that to Uthman ibn Affan. And when Uthman ibn Affan came in, he said, Wallahu al-Musta'an. That is where the statement comes in. When Uthman ibn Affan heard that, he said, Wallahu al-Musta'an. It is from Allah that help and assistance is sought. And that was why when he was to be killed, he was patient. And he fought against any person who was ready to fight against those who came to kill him. Alayhi radiyallahu anhu. Alayhi rahmatullah. So Uthman ibn Affan is the next most eminent person in this ummah, after Abu Bakr ibn al-Siddiq and Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar ibn al-Khattab follows Abu Bakr ibn al-Siddiq. Uthman ibn Affan follows Umar ibn al-Khattab. And that's why he's so eminent in the sight of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rest of the Muslims, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married his daughter to him twice. He married Ruqayya to him radiallahu anhu. He married Umm Kulthum to him radiallahu anhu. And this has never happened to any human being except Uthman ibn Affan. No human being dropped Hassan al-Basri alayhi rahmatullah ibn Abi Hassan. He said no human being dropped the door of his house or his curtains over two daughters of a messenger of Allah. No human being did it. Marry two daughters of one messenger. Okay, two daughters of two messengers. Is it possible? Is there anyone known in history? Well, he married the two daughters of the best of the messengers, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It suffices for him as honor. It suffices for Uthman radiallahu anhu as honor. Because he is from amongst those the Prophet is shy about. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is bashful regarding Uthman ibn Affan. Aisha radiallahu anha reported that once Abu Bakr al-Siddiq came in, the Prophet was sitting in a manner, he did not change his position in which he sat. Umar radiallahu anhu came in, he did not change his position in which he sat. And when Uthman ibn Affan came in, he changed his position, sat properly and dressed properly. So he told him to come in. When they went, Aisha asked him, radiallahu anha, when Abu Bakr came in, you didn't change, oh. When Umar came in, you didn't change, oh. But when Uthman came in, you changed. Why did you change? He said, Allah astahi mimman tastahi minhu al-malaika. Will I not be bashful for someone or regarding someone concerning whom the angels of Allah are bashful? Haya, they have haya for him. So will I not have haya for that kind of a person? It was referring to Uthman ibn Affan. So with that, it was easy. He married his daughter to him. So on the day of Badr, it was not a problem. You can't come because Ruqayya was ill. He couldn't leave his wife to come. And anyone who has uzur is not blamed for not attending the battles. The one who has uzur is not blamed for not attending battles. And the day of Bayatul Ridwan, he was the one regarding whom all the Muslims wanted to die. The Muslims on the day of Treaty of Hudaybiyah, they wanted to die because of Uthman. Because they learned that Uthman was killed. And they are not supposed to kill an errant person during a war situation. It is known. Someone is sent on an errand from a party, two parties are at war. They send someone, go and tell them so-so, give them so-so instructions. They are not to touch the person. But they learned that they had killed Uthman ibn Affan. So all the companions were ready to die because Uthman ibn Affan was at stake. Is it not sufficing as honor for Uthman ibn Affan? It suffices as honor for him. And that was why when that bayah was being taken, the Prophet said, this is the hand of Uthman. He placed another hand of his, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the hands of Uthman. That this is the hand of Uthman. Uthman is not here today, but this is his hand. When the bayah was taken with the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the people returned to Medina, radiallahu anhu. So Uthman ibn Affan, he has a lot of fada'il also. If you read the books, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got into Medina, there was scarcity of water. And it was reported that some of the families related to a Jewish family had a well. They wanted to sell for a large, according to some reports, about 30,000 dinars, golden coins. And the Prophet was saying that anyone who purchases this well, he is going to get in return for it Al-Jannah. Uthman ibn Affan heard that. He went and purchased the well. He came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did you say regarding the well? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anyone who purchased the well is going to get Al-Jannah in return. Uthman said, I have purchased the well. So what is that? Inna Allah la yukhlifu al-mi'ad. Allah does not change the promise. So he's going to get al-jannah in. That is why he's telling them, izan lahu wa bashirhu bil-jannah. Tell him to come here and tell him he will enter al-jannah. Not just because of one thing. For so many things they did. Radiallahu anhum. All the people he's telling, not for one thing, but each of which is sufficient for them to gain entrance into Al-Jannah. Radiallahu anhu. They were human beings, their kinds were not known. The kinds of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were not known regarding loyalty to their leader. They loved the Prophet so much. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah told us that they loved him more than themselves. Allah told us that they loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than themselves. And they preferred him to themselves. Radiallahu anhum. They preferred to die than that the Prophet died. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of whom will still talk about, Talha ibn Ubaidullah. On the day of Ghazwat al-Uhud, it was reported that the Prophet used to say, Al-Imam ibn Arabi al-Maliki in his book, Al-Awasim min al-Qawasim, fi tahkiki mawaqif al-Sahabati ba'da wafat al-Rasul. He was saying that Talha ibn Ubaidullah used to be said about him that Yawm Uhud, Yawm Talha. The day of Uhud, of the battle of Uhud, is the day of Talha. He had other battles that he partook, and he was very brave and brilliant in the war. But what happened on the day of the Ghazwat al-Uhud, the battle of Uhud, was that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we remember he was wounded on that day. So as he was being treated, one of the kuffar saw him and shot an arrow. Talha was in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, defending the Prophet, despite the fact that he was already injured on that day. It was reported that there was hardly any part of Talha on that day, except that there was injury on it. And yet he was still defending the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a non-Muslim shot an arrow which was to hit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he blocked it with his hand. His little finger got cut off. And that was why he was from among the first persons to give bayah to Ali ibn Abi Talib. The day that he gave bayah to Ali ibn Abi Talib, some of those who were Confucianists were saying that, how can they take bayah from a man who was first given bayah by a man whose hands are not complete? Ali of the land who told them to fear Allah. That incomplete finger, you know what happened to it? So he told the story. Now what happened to that finger was, on the day of Uhud, an arrow was shot at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Instead of the arrow reaching the Prophet, he blocked it with his hand and it cut off that little finger. So that was from where he got it. So you call that finger half finger, incomplete hand. That hand is better than the hand of all of you. So these were the kind of men who were behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it has a link with Islam. This has a link with Islam. It has a link with Islam because the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not to be followed by the message of any of that prophet or messenger. So if the message was to last till the end of time, the persons who are the forerunners of that message must be people whose faith in that message was strong, so much that they can transfer the message to those who come after. And that's why you hardly hear that the companion read the Quran and fell down. They were too big for that. The companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were not people who read the Quran and fall down. Allah nurtured their hearts for them. وَزَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Allah made iman nice to them. They like it. And he made them to hate kufr. And he made them people regarding which kufar are known. Because no one hates them except a kafir. Look at the kind of honor Allah gave to them. No one would hate them except a kafir. So how then are these people in terms of honor and excellence? You can imagine how it is. But no matter how you imagine it, it is unimaginable. You are very eminent people in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mankind. So Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he told us that the best of this ummah was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, and then Umar ibn al-Khattab, and then Uthman ibn Affan. He said, alayhi rahmatullah, نُقَدِّمُ هَؤُلَاءِ الثَّلَاثَةَ كَمَا قَدَّمَهُمْ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Who will put these three in front, who will prefer these three, who mention them as most eminent, like the way the companions of the Prophet mentioned them as the best. We are saying they are the best. It's giving you evidence why he's saying that. Yes, despite all what we have mentioned as evidences, he's still saying the reason why they are the best is because the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consider them as what? The best. He says, لَمْ يَخْتَلِفُوا فِي ذَلِكِ. They did not argue regarding that. It means that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq is the best of this ummah is not to be argued. It was not argued by the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. That Umar of the land who is next to him is not argued by the Prophet's companions, radiallahu anhu. And it was not argued that Uthman ibn Affan was the next best person after Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu. It means that anyone who does not agree with this, فَقَدْ خَالَفَ إِجْمَعَ الصَّحَابَةِ. Anyone who does not agree with that has made مُخَالَفَ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has made مُخَالَفَ, has gone against what the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were upon. And very easily we just read the verse to him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُشَاكِكَ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِي غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَنْ تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Someone can say, did the Prophet say that? Did the Prophet say that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman, they are the best? We say he did not say that nafsan, but there are statements that makes us understand that is what Allah and His Messenger is pleased with. There are statements that make us understand that is what Allah and His Messenger is pleased with. And that is the hadith of Ibn Umar. Because he said, Kunna fi ahdi Rasul. We at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst the scholars of hadith, they will say this asar is mawkuf, or this hadith is mawkuf, lakin lahu hukm al-rafa. It has the ruling of something that was said by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if a companion says, we at the time of the Prophet, he's telling us what was happening at the time wahyu was being revealed. If it was wrong, wahyu will come and say, no, don't make the deal of Abu Bakr over the rest of the people. If it was wrong, wahyu will come and say, oh, don't make the deal of Umar over the rest of the people. So the fact that at the time revelation was descending, and they were saying that, and no revelation either from Allah that will be in the Quran, or from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from what will he reveal, will be revealed to him. None of them said that, no, it was wrong to make this kind of tafdeel. It meant that it was what from the takrirat. It will be counted as from sunnatun takririya. The sunnah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw and he approved. He did not say, no, it is not like that. So it is not right for anyone to say it is not like that. So it is from the takrirat, from the approvals of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is from the consensus of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And that's why the Imam said, وَلَمْ يَخْتَلِفُوا فِي ذَلِكِ. So the companions never disagreed regarding the fact that these people had eminence and virtue as he had mentioned them, alayhi rahmatullah. He said, alayhi rahmatullah, that ثم بعد هؤلاء الثلاثة أصحاب الشورى الخمسة. After these three people that we had mentioned, Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman, the next amongst them are who? The three people who are أصحاب الشورى. Which shura is that? The shura was the majlis that the group of people assembled by Umar ibn al-Khattab at the time he was stabbed. Umar ibn al-Khattab was stabbed. Someone stabbed Umar ibn al-Khattab while he was performing Salah. He was standing in the front row and he stabbed Umar ibn al-Khattab in a manner that he will hardly survive. Because it was said in some riwayat that he poisoned the dagger that he used. And he stabbed him, cutting part of his intestines. Yes, in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, very lengthy hadith that discusses the khilafah of istikhlaf of Uthman ibn Affan and the death of Umar ibn al-Khattab and the istikhlaf of Uthman ibn Affan. It describes some of what happened, that when Umar ibn al-Khattab is giving some drink from milk and dates, that as he took it in his mouth, it came out from his womb, from his intestines. As he took it in his mouth, it came out, and he died from that injury. So before he died, he assembled a group of people who are going to select another leader for the Muslims. And those people, from amongst them, were six in number. From amongst them was Uthman ibn Affan, who finally came up as the leader of amongst the Muslims, and as is agreed upon. We mentioned all these. And then from them was Ali ibn Abi Talib. From them was Abdurrahman ibn Auf. From them was Zubair ibn Awam. From them was Talha ibn Ubaidullah. And then Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. These were the six people who were appointed by Umar ibn al-Khattab to select another leader for the Muslims. And when he said that, Al-Imam al-Zahabi in Sir Alam Nubala mentioned that he mentioned a riwayah that Umar ibn al-Khattab said that all these six people were qualified as imams. They were, each of them in himself is qualified to be the Khalifa of the Muslims. So, but from six of them, they should bring about one of them who was going to lead the Muslims. And we know some of what had happened in the Shura. Maybe we quickly mention that we may not have the time. Some of Democrats use this to establish the fact that there should be legislature. That is Islamic democracy. This is what they refer to it. If you have read Power's Caliphs by one Pakistani, Khan. Is it Ali Khan? Ali Khan. If you read his book, Power's Caliphs, he mentioned this. That Islam had proposed democracy before anyone started to talk about democracy. No one says this except someone Imma doesn't know democracy or did not know what happened at the time. Do we understand? It's either the person does not really know what is democracy or did not know what really happened at the time. This is not democracy in any way. As Sheikh Jabir ibn Abdullah Al-Ambari, Khalid ibn Abdullah Al-Ambari, who is a professor of Islamic politics from Jamia Malik Suud or Jamiatul Imam in Riyadh, he has a book, Fiqh Siyasat al-Shar'iyya. In this book, he mentioned three fundamental differences between what we know as the legislature today and the shura that was established by Umar ibn al-Khattab. He said the first difference is the legislature will discuss matters of halal and haram, whether it is to be made halal or haram. So they can make halal haram and they can make haram halal. I give you an example. The legislature in parts of the country had legislated against female circumcision. They legislated against female circumcision. So if female circumcision haram in the Sharia, it's halal, it's permissible. In fact, some of the scholars say that it is obligatory, and this is the most authentic opinion. That's the opinion of Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah and people like Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, and of recent people like Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah. And if you follow up the discussion, you see that appears to be the most authentic position, that it is also obligatory upon women who have this extension along their clitoris to also shorten it. Like Al-Imam Ibn al-Hajj al-Maliki has explained that in his work, that some people do not have it, but for those who have it, it is obligatory upon them to remove it. But these are people saying that it is now illegal for you to do it. And that's why even here around the north here, if you go all around hospitals and nursing homes and places like that, it is difficult for you to see a nurse who will say, no, I will circumcise your female child. Okay, if we say it is not obligatory, do we not agree that it is mustahab? Because those who say that it is mustahab and those who say it is obligatory, they agree on the fact that it is mustahab, is it not? Because obligation is istihbab wama wa ziyada. Wujub is istihbab wa ziyada. So they agree on the fact that it is mustahab. So something that is mustahab encouraged. The Prophet even told us what the women will gain from it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says it is better, it makes their faces more calm, and it makes their husbands enjoy them the more. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said that part of the reasons why the women of the Tatars and the Mongols were sexually perversive was because they did not circumcise their females. It's a majmu' fatawa. Was because they do not circumcise their females. So they want to make this ummah also to become an ummah that does not circumcise females. So they legislate against it. So a legislature, a shura, in the understanding of the Sharia, is not a shura that debates something that is already established in the Sharia. So how can it be a legislature? when they start, we are not discussing whether it was halal to establish Salah or haram.
No.
We are discussing a matter that regarding which they don't have a text from Quran and Sunnah. So as to find a way forward for the Ummah. The second basic difference between what they refer to as legislature and all this is that the legislature that was the shura that was set up by Umar ibn al-Khattab, like he said, that these six people are from the best of the Muslims. The question is, from the Senate and the Houses of Representatives and the legislature and all this, are they the best of Nigerians? It is clear. They are not the best of the people. So how can someone say no, that the parliament that people have today in their democratic setup is the same thing that Umar ibn al-Khattab did, where Umar ibn al-Khattab had set up a group of people who are from the best of mankind. And from the best of mankind, radiallahu anhum. And then people set up institutions where people only get there by how much and how well they can shout and speak well and talk well, spend money, make one to be four, make four to be 50, and all these. Even when they have beard and all those and show the attributes of Islam and Muslims, all those does not prevent them from making the various maneuvers that they make. And then they get there and then they begin to discuss whether something that is halal is halal, haram, or something that is halal is halal, and all this. The third basic difference is that matters are not decided by their substance. The matters are decided by what do the large number of people want. It's not a matter of what does substance give preponderance to, what does evidence support, but it's a matter of what do the large majority. So the majority can be stupid people. Don't forget that he said to us that in today, oh, aksara man fil ardi, the look and sabila. So aksariya is not from what the sharia gives real gives cognizance to. What it gives cognizance to is substance. Now if all the majority have substance, yes, but if the majority do not have substance, then no. So these are from the basic fundamental differences between what had happened, what Umar radiallahu anhu did, and what people use it for as evidence. So there is no link between what Umar radiallahu anhu has done and what people do today in the name of what they have as democratic setup. And don't forget that democracy is not any government that has anything to do with Allah. It's a government that has to do with people and their hawa. It has to do with people, human beings, and their hawa and shahwa, what they want and what they like. So they say it is of the people, by the people, and for the people. So when the other people shout the name of their party, they say power to the people. But all power belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are so many things we can talk about that. So people should not use what Umar radiallahu anhu has done to justify what is not it. There are so many other differences that other scholars have mentioned. So Umar radiallahu anhu set up the Shura, and it was having six people. It was led by Abdurrahman ibn Auf. So it was having those people. He exempted himself, radiallahu anhu. And it was remaining four people. There were five, cool. There were six. So he exempted himself, remaining how many? Remaining five. So he consulted the five and the rest of the people of Medina and other places. And in the end, at the end of the third day, he came to announce in the presence of all the Muslims who were gathered in the masjid on the day that the Khalifa was Uthman ibn Affan. And the first person, or from among the first people who gave bayah to Uthman ibn Affan, was Ali ibn Abi Talib. He gave bayah to Uthman ibn Affan. And that was why when one of his grandchildren, Muhammad ibn Hanfiyah, asked him, he said, "Kultu li Abi," his Abi here is his grandfather. He said, "Kultu li Abi, ayyun nasi khayrun ba'da Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Who amongst the people? He was asking Ali ibn Abi Talib. This hadith was reported by Imam al-Bukhari, radiyallahu anhu, hadith al-Mawquf. Was reported by Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. He said that Muhammad ibn Hanfiyah was asking Ali ibn Abi Talib, "Ayyun nasi khayrun ba'da Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Who amongst men is the best after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Qala Abu Bakr. Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Abu Bakr." You see, this matter is like what Isa alayhi salam said, or that Allah told us He will say on the day of Qiyamah, that it is not from my right to say what you have not ordered me to say. It is not from the right of Ali ibn Abi Talib to say other than what he has said, radiallahu anhu. Because they knew the truth, despite the fact that the people who wanted to pervert haq. But the truth is usually clear. So when they asked him, who is the best, he could have said, me, I'm the best. He said, no, Abu Bakr, Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. And don't forget who is asking him, his grandson was asking him about that. He said, summa man. Then after, who? He said, Umar. Ali ibn Abi Talib is the one talking. He said, summa man. He said, then who? He said, khashitu an yakula Uthman. Do you understand? I didn't want him to say Uthman, so I put it to him. Yeah, like putting words into his mouth. Summa anta, you? He said, la, ma ana illa rajulun min al-muslimin. Who am I except one of the Muslims? He didn't want him to say Uthman, so he's like putting words to say, you, is it you? So Ali ibn Abi Talib didn't say that he was more virtuous than Uthman ibn Affan. Perhaps if he was left to say who was next, he would say Uthman ibn Affan. So people who say that should not, who say that the companions pushed away Ali ibn Abi Talib, said that Abu Bakr and Siddiq, A'udhu Billah, and all these people should become Khulafa, A'udhu Billah. They are saying things that are not right. And that's why Imam ibn Taymiyyah, Ahmad ibn Abdul Halim ibn Abdul Salam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he said in his book, Aqidatul Wafitiyah, that وَمَنْ طَعْنَ فِي خِلَافَةِ أَحْدٍ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ. Anyone who opposes, who speaks against the leadership of all these people that we have mentioned, Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Uthman ibn Affan, anyone who speaks against their khilafah, including that of Ali ibn Abi Talib, he says, فَهُوَ أَضَلُّ مِنْ حِمَارِ أَهْلِهِ. He is more astray than the lost himar, donkey of their household. Astray. No one says that, speaks against these people, except someone who is astray. He said, وَمَنْ طَعْنَ فِي خِلَافَةِ أَحْدٍ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ فَهُوَ أَضَلُّ مِنْ حِمَارِ أَهْلِهِ. So the one who speaks against the khilafah of all these people is astray, far more astray than the donkey, the lost donkey of their household. So these are the best of people after the Anbiya, alayhim rahmatullah. So all of them were suitable for the Khilafah. All these people who came into the Shura. The Shura is just what we had described. All of them, each of them was suitable for the Khilafah. And that was why Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, وَكُلُّهُمْ يَصْلُحُ لِلْخِلَافَةِ. Each of them was suitable, was good enough, was pious enough, was righteous enough, was suitable enough for the post of the Khalifa. They were kulluhum imam. Each of them was imam. Yani man yuqtada bihi. Someone who is followed, allama. Each of them was qualified as an imam. Wa nazhabu fi zalika ila hadithi ibn Umar. What makes us say what we have said is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, that kunna na'uddu wa rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam hayyun. We used to count when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive. We used to make a counting. And how we did it? And he said, wa ashabuhu mutawafirun. The Prophet was alive and the companions were also there. All of them were around. We used to say Abu Bakr first, Abu Bakr, summa Umar, then Umar, summa Uthman, then Uthman, summa Nasr. Then we used to keep quiet. We say Abu Bakr, then Uthman, then Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman. We keep quiet. And no wahyu came to say, no, it's not like that. It is Ali number one. So anyone who says that now is just saying from his own power. Because he will not have any evidence from the Quran or from the Hadith to establish what he said. Ali radiallahu anhu is from among the most eminent of the Muslims, radiallahu anhu, and from the most learned amongst them. But these people were more eminent than him. Quickly, let's mention this. There are some from amongst the scholars of the Ummah, like Imam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in his book, Al-Aqidatul Wasitiyah, who have the opinion that regarding excellence and virtue, that Ali ibn Abi Talib was more virtuous than Uthman ibn Affan. And some say no, Uthman ibn Affan was more virtuous than Ali ibn Abi Talib. There are some of the scholars who said that. So they say this is not from the matter. If they argue regarding virtue, who was more virtuous? Was it Ali or Uthman? It's not from the matter, from where Muslims say somebody is dull, that is a person who is astray. But what the companions and all the Muslims from the Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah had agreed upon is that the Khalifa rightly and actually was due for Uthman ibn Affan before Ali ibn Abi Talib. They are not arguing about that. Do we understand? What they argue about is Fadl. Even when Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said that what finally became the position of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah is that the one who became the Khalifa was most virtuous, who was Uthman ibn Affan. And Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, while explaining this point, he said, yes, Uthman ibn Affan was most virtuous than Ali. That was why the companions agreed that he should be the Khalifa before Ali ibn Abi Talib. They said because that time is from the Qurun al-Mufaddala, that is from the most virtuous and honored generation of Muslims. That how will Allah bring a Khalifa upon it when it's not the best amongst them at the time? This is the fiqh of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, and he's very, 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 very strong in terms of backing and scholarly position, that these are from the best of generations of people. So why will Allah bring somebody to be a leader over the best of generation and he is not the best amongst them at the time? He says, so the fact that Allah made Uthman ibn Affan to be the Khalifa, it was agreed upon amongst the Muslims, is from the evidences that he was superior to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. So let's just note that. So if we have people thinking about virtue, no problem. But when it comes to the issue of khilafa, they agree upon it. No one says any other than that, except the one who is more astray than the donkey, lost donkey of his house. So they say that kunna na'udu wa rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam hayyun wa ashabuhu mutawaffirun Abu Bakr thumma Umar thumma Uthman thumma Naskub. Al-Imam Ahmad reported this hadith. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported it, and Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi also reported it. He said, "Summa ba'da ashabi ash-shuhra." Before we go ahead, we see that if we add the first three, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Uthman ibn Affan, plus the people of Shura, we will be having 8 companions from the Mubashiruna bil-Jannah. So it will be remaining 2. So we'll be left with Amir, yani Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, and Sa'id ibn Zayd. So these 2 will complete 10. Because after the Khulafa ur-Rashidun, the first 4, the next category of the companions are the Al-Mubashirun bil-Jannah. And there are 10 of them. So they will complete 10. These 2 companions will add to those who were in the Shura and those who are from the Khulafa that we mentioned earlier. Then we have from the 10 of the Mubashiruna bil Jannah. And after those people, after the Mubashiruna bil Jannah, the next in honor amongst the companions, they are Ashabul Badr. The companions, the 300 ulama say, and 10 and some number. So some say it is 313, some say it is 15. Some say it is 17, some say it is 19. If you read Bidayah wa Nihaya, Ghazwatul Badr, you see all those and what they say about them. So they say 310 plus some numbers. So all these people, they are from the people of Al-Jannah. They are from the eminent people amongst the companions. Because Allah said to them that, "If'alu ma shi'tum, faqad ghafartu lakum." Do what you like, I've forgiven you. The people of Badr. Do what you like, I've forgiven you. So the people of Badr, they are very, very great amongst the people who are honored from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the scholars, Sheikh Rabi, in his Sharh of Usul al-Sunnah, he was saying that, yes, the people of Badr, but we should not forget that the people of Badr, amongst them, they also have levels. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was from the people of Badr. Do you understand? But he's greater than all the rest of them. So we also had people who are from the Bay'atul Aqaba, because some of the scholars say that the people of Bay'atul Aqaba are greater than the people who are in Badr. Say, yeah, but most of them were still amongst people of Badr. we have some Muhajirun and we have some Ansar among the people of Badr. And the Muhajirun are more virtuous and excellent than those who were the Ansar. Yes. Al-Muhajirun, they were more virtuous in the sight of Allah than the Ansar. And this was from what Abu Bakr al-Siddiq told the people of Medina the day the Prophet died. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq reminded them of the verse in the Quran. You remember in Surah Al-Hashr, Allah said, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. So he referred to those who migrated from Mecca. They were poor people. Even those who were rich before, Suhaib al-Rumi, he was rich. They told him, choose between your wealth and Muhammad. Say, I choose Muhammad. Say, okay, go, leave your wealth here, because you came here not having anything. You came here as a slave. So if you want to go out of this place without, you won't take money you made here to go and support people against us. So they took all his wealth. He left it and went to Medina without anything. The same thing Abdurrahman ibn Auf and many of the companions of the Prophet. So they came to Medina poor, not having anywhere to stay. They had to be paid to stay in homes of the Ansar. What were they looking for when they did all that? Fadla min Allahi wa ridwan. The virtue of Allah and His pleasure. Not only that, wa yansuruna Allah wa rasulah. Helping Allah's deen and the messenger. He said, ulaika humus sadiqun. These people are truthful people. These people are truthful people. So Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُ الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا وَيُغْفِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةٌ وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So Allah described the people of Medina. See, these people, hasad, they didn't have, they were not greedy people. وَيُغْفِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Yes, they liked those things, but they were ready to deny themselves those things, even when they liked those things. So they took them, yes, they accommodated them and gave assistance to the deen of Allah. So Allah says, these people are muflihun, successful people. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to them that Allah described us as sadiqun, and He described you people as muflihun. And Allah says, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. So give us the leadership. And the people, sadiqun, the muhajirun, were the leaders of the Muslims. Because Allah said, be with those who are sadiqun. So you are to be with us, we are not to be with you. So that establishes the fadl of the muhajirun over the Ansar. Look at the companions and evidencing. So the companions who came from Makkah to Medina, they were more virtuous than those who came from, who were only in Medina. They said, because what the people in Medina did was assistance. Accommodate the Prophet. What the people in Makkah did was that they accommodated the Prophet and they left what they had before from their own personal property. So two things, and then they made hijrah. The people of Medina didn't make hijrah to anywhere. So this makes the difference between the Muhajirun and Ansar. So even from amongst the people of Badr, there is levels, different levels amongst them. He now said to us, alayhi rahmatullah, he says, summa ba'da ashab al-shura, after the people of Shura, we have the people, ahlu badr min al-muhajirin, people of Badr from the Muhajirun. We'd explain that. He says, summa ahlu badr min al-ansar, then we have people of Badr from amongst the Ansar of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min ashabi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala qadri al-hijrati was-sabiqati awwalan fa awwalan. That is, each of them and their eminence is considered based on how quickly they came into Islam. And that's why some of the scholars, when they define Siddiq, they say the Siddiqun are those who were foremost in accepting the message of their messenger that was sent to them. They are foremost in accepting the message. So the one who comes to Islam earlier than you is superior to you. Generally, the one who comes earlier is superior. The one who comes earlier is superior. The one who makes hijrah earlier is superior. And that was why after the time of Abu Bakr and Siddiq, and then the time of Umar, when wealth, the Muslims fought wars and wealth was regularly available. Part of the instruction that was given to the leaders who led the people on the battlefields was, if they want to distribute the booties, the most eminent among the companions. That was why from among the companions is a star, for example, to say that someone is from the Badriyun. Say Badriyun, the people of Badr. They are the 10 star generals amongst the Muslims at the time. So when they give them, when they share the properties among the Muslims, they share their own, they are the senior Muslims. Yes, Allah gave them that virtue. Because they were forced in accepting Islam, they were forced, they made hijrah, they gave all they have. So when the booties for the deen, when izajaa nasrullahi wal fath, when wealth, when support came from Allah, they also got from it. Even when some of them were not pleased with it. Some of them were scared that, is it not that Allah is already giving us what He will give us in here after here? People like Abu Rahman ibn Auf said that. Abu Huraira, who used to fall down in the masjid of the Prophet because of hunger, became a billionaire Bal at the time. Abu Huraira used to fall down because of hunger, he said it. The hadith is in Bukhari. Yet after the Prophet died and the time of Umar came, they became billionaires at the time. So it was known that those who came early in Islam were the senior, and as they came, he said, that's why the Imam said, awwalan fa awwalan. As they came, then that's how their prominence is also. And that's why he told us too in the Quran, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا. He said, وكلان وعد الله الحسنى. Yes, the two of them, Allah has promised them good. But you cannot compare those who spent before success began to come and gave all they have. They fought wars and spent all their wealth. You can't compare them with those who are now spending their wealth now that there is already fat war. So these people are greater than, the first people are greater than them in virtue. Even when the two of them are, yes, companions of the Prophet, but they still have levels amongst them. And it is also from the way of the scholars also, they do that too, even amongst their students. The scholars do that. There is darajat, those who came first, then those who came, then those who came, those who stayed with them longer, then those who stayed longer, then those who stayed longer. Because all the companions, not all of them stayed longer at the same time. We'll mention that in the next point, inshallah. Let me just quickly mention this. Let's go ahead. So the scholars do that also. They do that also. In Sheikh, because it is written in a book, so I don't have a problem. In Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid Al-Halabi, in his Rudud against one man called Ibn Duhayyim wrote some funny things about Sheikh Al-Albani and the matter of Iman, Ziyadat al-Iman, Naqsan al-Iman. So Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid, made a rudud, gave him a critique in response. So he was saying in the muqaddima that there is one of the shuyukh referred to as Sheikh Ibrahim Shakra, that he reported him when he did some things to him. He reported him to Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah. And Sheikh Al-Albani told him to be patient, that you know that he's foremost of you in this da'wah, so you have to be patient with him. Do you understand? The same Qaida. He came before you and he has contributions greater than yours now. So be patient with him. Consider his being foremost. So that attitude is an attitude they had carried from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the scholars that had come before, they had also carried that within themselves. When they relate to themselves, they recognize those who are real people came first. They started first. They were there first. To give them that honor of tabak. Because it is Allah that made it like that. It is Allah that made it like that. So that's why he said, alayhi rahmatullah, ala qadri hijrati wa sabiqati awwalan fa awwalan. So the consideration will be based on those who came first, accepted Islam first. Then, and that's why those people who accepted Islam first, look at them, how they were. Look at Khadija radiallahu anha. Look at Ali ibn Abi Talib. Look at Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Look at Uthman ibn Affan, look at Talha, look at Ubaydullah, look at all these people. Al-Jarrah, you see, they were the eminent people who came forth. even when there is also virtue for those who came later. And then the same thing applies to Hijrah. Those who came, then. So that's also how the virtues come. And that's why Allah also said in the Quran that As-sabiqun al-awwalun min al-muhajirin al-ansar. They came for, they were foremost, al-awwalun. Some of them were from the muhajirun, some of them were from the ansar. So وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. But he said As-sabiquna al-awwalun. So this sabak is recognized in the Sharia. This is the 26th point. So we read that again. It says, وَخَيْرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بَعْدَ نَبِيِّهَا وَخَيْرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بَعْدَ نَبِيِّهَا أَبُو بَكْرٍ أَبْصِدِّيقٍ ثُمَّ أُمَرُ إِبْنُ الْخَطَّابِ ثُمَّ أُثْمَانُ إِبْنُ عَفَّانِ نقدم هؤلاء الثلاثة كما قدمهم أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لم يختلفوا في ذلك ثم بعد هؤلاء الثلاثة أصحاب الشورى الخمسة علي بن أبي طالب وطلحة والزبير وعبد الرحمن بن عوف وسعد وكلهم يصلح للخلافة وكلهم إمام ونذهب في ذلك إلى حديث ابن عمر كنا نعد ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حي وأصحابه متوافرون أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم نسكت ثم بعد أصحاب الشورى أهل بدر من المهاجرين ثم أهل بدر من الأنصار من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على قدر الهجرة والسابقة أولا فأولا. I hope the point is clear. Inshallah, we'll stop here today. We'll try to respond to some of the questions, because the second matter is one which, if we go into it, we'll not be able to do justice properly to it, inshallah. So we hope that by next week we'll go into it and we'll be able to mention one or two things regarding the details of that. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. The conditions to imitate them. On the general note, there is no condition other than that they have to be imitated. And that was why, despite the fact that at the beginning Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal told us that al-usul sunnah indana at-tamassuk bima kana alayhi ashab rasul, he made it the asul of the deen, the asul, the basic thing in the deen. What differentiates a Shia from a Khawarij, a Khawarij from a Murji'a, and all these people, is the companions. Even when, like some of the ulama say, that it is difficult for to find the people of bid'ah, except that they'll be abusing the companions of the Prophet. It is difficult to find any group from among the people of innovation, except that they abuse the Prophet's companions. And look at, one of the, there's a CD now that's sold, where a brother had a face-to-face with a man called Faisal. In it, he was saying some things that impacted on the personality of Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu al-Abbas, al-Hashimi, radiallahu anhu. Yes. Because he did not retract the statement that when he was asked that, are you still saying that any person who says kufr duna kufr is mal'un, a court, and that this companion said so, he said that doesn't mean that the companion is someone who can make mistakes. The brother said, no, are you still saying that any person who says kufr duna kufr is an accursed of Allah, an enemy of Allah and Islam? The next thing he said was that after all, he had made many mistakes. He started to count the errors. So what is that? Is that ceding to those, to the curse put to him, and then trying to say, look, that is small, there are more errors. He said, now? Yes, he counted some things. He said Ibn Abbas said that there was Mut'ah, when Mut'ah was Mansukh. He has comments also that indicated that Ibn Abbas changed the position. It is non-in-depth knowledge regarding the matter that made him to say that regarding Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas had an opinion that someone can make mut'ah. Mut'ah, the marriage that the Shia make. That he also gave permission to riba nasi'ah. And he changed that opinion. Mu'az ibn Jabal is riwayah Musnad Ibn Ahmad that he held the hands of Ibn Abbas that this fatwa you are giving riba nasi'ah, is that what you heard from the Prophet? So I say yes, that was what he started to explain to him. Oh, Ibn Abbas said, okay, I changed my opinion. Mu'az ibn Jabal said, go now and announce to all those people whom you are giving that fatwa that they should, you have changed your opinion. So most of these things are things people talk about without really knowing what were the ends regarding them. But he was not retracting that he's not raining the curse of Allah upon this companion. So it's just that the matters of people like that, they gradually snowball. After all, those who had said some of what he is saying now, they made open takfir of the companion. Yes, the Khawarij said the companions were kuffar, including Ali ibn Abi Talib, including Ibn Abbas himself. So if he says it, I will not be surprised. Because he had made the muqaddimat. He had made the muqaddimat. It's just hitting the nail on the head that remains. We pray that Allah guides that person. So there is no people amongst the people of innovation except that they spoke and impacted upon the reputation of the companions. And that was why all these things became matters of aqidah that we must believe. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith, even when people like Sheikh Ahmed Muhammad Shakir said that this hadith is authentic, but what is most authentic is that the hadith is not authentic. That Allah, Allah fi ashabi, la tattakhizuhum gharadan, wa man ittakhazahum gharadan, yushaku an ya'khudhatullah. Fear Allah regarding my companions. Awkama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't take them as objects of accusation. And anyone who takes them as objects of accusation, Allah will soon grasp the person. Allah will soon grab the person. He says, because anyone who, وَمَنْ أَذَاهُمْ فَقَدْ أَذَى الرَّسُولِ وَمَنْ أَذَى الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَذَى اللَّهَ. That's how the hadith reads. But else, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, لَا تَصُبُّوا أَصْحَابِي وَلَوْ أَنْفَقَ أَحَدٌ مِثْلَ أُحْدٍ ذَحَبًا مَا بَلَغَ مُدَّهُمْ وَلَا نَصِيفُهُ. He said, if any of you, don't ever abuse my companion. The person he's talking to was a companion. The person he's talking to was a companion. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen said, he's saying that if we spend gold, that yes, if that companion also spend gold, he will not be like the companion. Don't be like the companion. Don't abuse my companion. He had been my companion before you, so don't abuse him. So what about we, who are not companions? He said, if gold and gold is the same, if Uhud and Uhud is the same, if Mud and Mud is the same, the people who will spend that gold are not the same. Because the person is saying don't do it is a companion. Anyone who wants to do that is also not a companion. Is not a companion. So we can't compare the two people. Yet he's telling that companion, don't abuse my companion. He said, if you spend gold like the Mount of Uhud as sadaqah, you will not reach that level. You will not even reach half of it. So this matter became a matter of aqidah. And that's why I said again, alayhi salatu wasalam, in an authentic hadith, إِذَا ذُكِرَ أَصْحَابِي فَأَمْسِكُوا. When people speak evil about my companion, be careful there. The Prophet said so. إِذَا ذُكِرَ أَصْحَابِي. When people begin to mention my companions, and then mention them, they get, فَأَمْسِكُوا, be careful. Take care when you do so. So it became issues of Akira that the companions must not be abused, the companion must not be spoken against, the companion are this, are that, because it is from the way of the people of innovation to do other than that. So from the basis of this deen, from the foundations of this deen is iqtida'u ashabi rasuli sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Following, imitating, taking them as models of the Prophet. Someone can say, are you saying that they are masumin? We are not saying that they can't make mistakes. Nobody has ever said that. But even that, in their mistakes, we still say to the person, is that zikr ashabi or antiqu? When you mention it, but be careful. You mention that, yes, they made it, and you give them excuses. perhaps this, perhaps that, perhaps that. This is the way of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaah. But the way of Ahlul Bid'ah and Dalala is that they abuse the companions. Instead of saying, no, it was because they did this, they say, no, there are more examples. He said this now. And they give those things. So, this basic foundation must be understood. That generally, on a general note, the companions are to be followed. Especially when they are interpreting a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, or they are explaining a verse of the Quran. Don't bring another interpretation so that you will not go astray. If they say this hadith means this, this verse of Quran means this, don't bring another one. If they have two opinions amongst them, don't bring a third one. If they have only one opinion, don't bring a second one. So these are the basic ways of dealing with the words of the companions and their actions. But if a companion is said to have done or said something that appears to have contradicted something that is said in an authentic hadith, then you follow the hadith and you give the companion excuse. Because as Bara' ibn Mu'adh said, radiallahu anhu, and it's reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad in hadith that is Hassan, he said, it was not every companion that knew everything. He said, because some of us were with the Prophet morning, day and night, people like Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. And some of us were in the market, so some things he said we didn't know. Unless those people tell us that Prophet said this. So if Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something, it is, and we found an action or a statement of the companion appearing to be contradictory to that, take to the hadith. Because basically, the hadith has come from no other than Allah, from Wahyu. Because the Prophet never spoke from his desire. Secondly, the Prophet is protected from errors regarding the matters of Sharia. Allah didn't tell us that regarding the matters of Sharia, that individuals amongst the companion is protected. Do we understand? But the jail is protected. The group of companions, all the companions, that's why you don't bring a third one if they agree or if they differ into two opinions, or they have an opinion, you don't bring a second one. Because all of them can't be wrong. All the companions put together can't be wrong. But an individual can make a mistake amongst them. But as a group, they can't make error. But as individuals, they can err. But what will make you know that they err is if you have a verse of the Quran, which is rare, or you have a hadith, which is more common, that indicates that in this case, they are wrong. I give you an example. وَلَا نَخَافُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَوْمَ تَلَاهِ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that is reported by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhumah, that Naha Rasuli sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anil hilaki yawm al-jumati qabla al-khutbah. This hadith was reported by Imam Abu Dawud, Imam al-Tirmidhi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal and others, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade gatherings as we are now in a halqa. He forbade it. In other siyag al-faz of the hadith, he said, anit tahalluk, on doing that, gathering together to discuss anything in the deen. Because the companions never gathered except that they were discussing Islam. Even if they are discussing the deen, the mere fact that, other than the deen, the mere fact that they gathered is prohibited. And let's understand that إِذَا كَانَ الْأَصْلُ الْبَاطِلِ فَالْفَرْعُ مِنْهَا بَاطِلِ إِذَا بَطَلَ الْأَصْلُ بَطَلَ الْفَرْعُ. If the asul of something is batil, the faru is also batil. If that sitting is batil, then what they do in the sitting is also batil. So the Prophet predicted that. Someone now says, yes, there is an author of Abu Huraira that he used to read hadith to people on the day of Jumu'ah before khutbah. So what do? You take to the statements of Abu Huraira and his action. You take to the action of Abu Huraira. Or you take to the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What do? You do not take to the statement of Abu Huraira. You say perhaps Abu Huraira, you give him excuse. Don't forget the position of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah. If we find a companion doing something that appears contradicting a clear statement of the Prophet, we say, oh, he heard here, but we do what? We give him an excuse. So perhaps Abu Huraira was not aware because he didn't know everything. And don't forget, Abu Huraira told us in Sahih Muslim, as is reported there, that Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As used to write the hadith. At that time, he was not writing. He used to write. Ibn Aas used to write. He was not writing. It was later that Abu Huraira started to write. But the first person who was writing, or from amongst the first who was writing, who even came to the Prophet ﷺ to say, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, I used to write everything that you say, and the people are abusing me that I'm writing everything that you say." That because you are a human being, sometimes you could be annoyed and sometimes you could be happy. Should I continue to write everything you say? He said, "Uktub, fa innahu la yakhruj minhu illa al-haq." He touched his lips. Say, "Write, because nothing comes out of it except what the truth." So he was writing. Before Abu Huraira, he had a large sahifa that his children inherited. So it is not likely. This is from the excuse we are giving to Abu Huraira, in the way of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, that perhaps Abu Huraira was not aware of the hadith. And we have many reasons to say that. Because Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As came to Ifriqiya towards in the beginning of the Khilafah of Umar with his father. And Umar ibn Abu Huraira, we don't have an history that he ever left Arabian Peninsula until he died. So is it not possible that at the time, Ibn Abu